failed to mention, but want to make sure that we do also remember Sister Short and her family in prayer. Sister Short lost a cousin this past week as well. And also Mother Watkins, Mildred Watkins, fell, and they thought she'd broken her shoulder, but she fractured it. But let's remember Sister Watkins in your prayers as well. Amen? Amen. I'm going to preach a little different sermon. I know it's our communion Sabbath, but I'm going to come at you in a different way today as I believe the Lord is leading. If you would stand with me and take your Bibles in hand and turn to the book of Acts. What book did I say, everybody? Book of Acts. And we're going to go to chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And I will read in your hearing the first 8 verses. Again, Acts, the first chapter. And beginning at verse 1. And here's what the word of God says. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Somebody says wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from here. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want us to focus in on verse 4, where he says, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. I want to speak to the topic today, wait for it. Wait for it. God, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for blessing us already today. Help us to realize, God, that you bless us to be a blessing. Now speak to us in these next few moments we have with you. In Jesus' name, let everybody say, amen, amen. You may be seated in his presence. I want to begin with just a little humor this afternoon. I heard of a man who thought that he could outsmart God. And so he came to God one day and said, God, how long is 1,000,000 years to you? And God said, 1,000,000 years to me is like a second. The man then said, well, God, how much is $1,000,000 to you? And God said, $1,000,000 is like a penny. And the man said, well, God, give me a penny. And God said, okay, wait a second. You've heard it said from time to time that good things come to those who wait. But let me ask you something this morning. How many of you like to wait? I didn't think I'd get any takers this morning. How many of you really look forward to waiting? It's hard, isn't it, to wait? If you're like me, you find it hard to wait for anything. We don't like waiting at red lights, in the doctor's office, on the computer to boot up. We don't even like to wait in the fast food lane. It always seems like the food is just taking longer. It's not fast enough. In his devotional book, Draw the Circle, John Madison shares that he and his family can't even wait for Christmas to come. So they have developed a tradition of opening gifts on Christmas Eve. We don't like to wait. Come on, say amen. And our culture conditions and caters to this mindset. So we have microwave ovens and quick oats and instant grits and fast food restaurants and quick fixes and fast lanes. I was driving behind a car one day and I saw on a bumper sticker, Brother Tyrone, hurry up and wait. The problem with this cultural mindset is that it all too often puts us at odds with how God works in our lives. So we are often frustrated and disappointed and off kilter because it never seems like God is moving fast enough. Never moving at the pace and in the way that we want him to move. I remember after moving here to Birmingham that we put our house up for sale in Kansas City, Missouri, and that was back in 2015. And you know, the market was, it was just beginning to turn around at that time. We met with the realtor, and she told us, well, Pastor, Sister Ross, you can sell your house in about 6 to 9 months. You can expect to sell your home. 6 to 9 months later, it was still on the market. And we were praying, and some of you remember, we asked the church to pray. Come on, say amen. And we were wondering, what was God doing? And there were times we even questioned the move itself. You know, sometimes you get to double questioning yourself or doubling up on yourself. We didn't know what in the world was God doing. And now we had a mortgage and a rent to pay, and the conference, because of a move, they'll pay one, usually the first one, for a certain time, and that time was running out. God, you need to do something, and you need to do it now. But one of the things I learned about God in that whole process is that you can't hurry God. God does not operate on your schedule, and he doesn't operate on mine. And yet, when God decides to move, he's never too early and he's never too late. Our God is always right on time. Oh, we kept on lowering the price of the house until if we lowered it anymore, we might as well give it away. And it was then that we were approached by a family whom we used to pastor. And they were looking for a place to rent. And we said, this is not going to work. We do not want to be landlords. We want to sell this house. And it was then that we realized that God was up to something. Here's another thing we learned. And it is that if you want God's best, you've got to stand the test. You got to wait for it. And that's what Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1 and verse 4. The Bible says that on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father. Wait for it. Somebody say, wait for it. Well, what was the it that they were to wait for? The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the one who was promised to come and take the place of Jesus on this earth. As Jesus was wrapping up his mission here on earth, he was trying to prepare his disciples for his departure and that he was going to send somebody in his place. He was explaining to them heaven's succession plan. He began to tell them, I got to leave you. I must go away. And they were very upset. They were very sad. What in the world is he talking about? Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we can't go on without you. Jesus, your mission as we see it is not complete. And Jesus said, oh yes, my mission is complete and I've got to go. I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of a bloodthirsty mob and I will be crucified. But don't worry, I'm going to rise again on the third day. And I'm going to go back to heaven from whence I came. And when I get there, I will ask the Father on your behalf to send my replacement. Well, Jesus, we don't need a replacement. We don't need a substitute.
We don't need a surrogate. We don't need a successor. And Jesus says, you don't understand. My substitute, my successor, my surrogate is not less than me. He is equal to me. He is another comforter. He is another helper. He is another advocate. He is one just like me, only without the flesh. He has the same essence. He is divine. He is God. The only difference between him and me is that he is not encumbered by the flesh. He is not encumbered by my humanity. So he is not limited to any one place and time. He's just like I am. He can be here, there, and everywhere at the same time. He is omnipresent. I gotta go because you will need me up there, but you will need him down here. And he will abide with you forever. He is the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of what, everybody? The spirit of truth. And he will teach you all things. And he will bring back to your remembrance the things I taught you. He will reprove the world of sin because they rejected me. Of righteousness because I'm no longer I'm going to my Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world, the devil himself, will be condemned when I die on the cross. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will give you understanding of prophecy. He will glorify me. You see, there are folk who are always talking about the Holy Spirit as if the Holy Spirit came to glorify himself. Jesus says, no, the Holy Spirit came to glorify me. He points back to me. It's all about me because if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. He will be everything to you that I cannot be in the flesh right now. I've got to go so he can come. And when my Father sends him to you, he will give you power. He will give you what? He will give you what? Power to become my witnesses. I'm not going to be long this morning. Power to represent me. If ever there was a time that the church needed power, that time is now. Too many of us are trying to fake it till we make it. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We've been seduced by the world to think that what we need is political power, economic power. Kim Jong-un has sacrificed his people's well-being in pursuit of nuclear power. Our president is boasting about America's firepower, but back in the 60s and the 70s, we talked about white power and black power. Even the disciples still didn't get it. They said, Jesus, when are you going to restore Jerusalem? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. In other words, it's none of your business. What you need to know and what you really need is not more political power or more economic power or more nuclear power or more military power. What you really need is spiritual power. If you have spiritual power, there is nothing you cannot accomplish in this earth. If you have the kind of power I will send you, you will have power to raise the dead, and power to preach the gospel, and power to heal the sick, and power to cast out demons, and power to stand before dignitaries, and power to endure conflict and trial and persecution, and power to go through difficulty, and power to walk right, and power to talk right, and power to love the unlovable, and power to forgive the unforgivable, and power to break every yoke, and power to tear down every stronghold, and power to overcome every obstacle, and move every mountain, and cross every river, and face every trial. You'll have power to speak the truth in love, and power to stay pure in a world that is corrupt. You will have power to say no to temptation. Power to say yes to Jesus. You'll have power. I'm wondering today if there's anybody here who sees a need for the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You recognize that if you have spiritual power, and you've got power to accomplish things that all the political power and all the economic power and all the nuclear power put together cannot accomplish. The question this
morning is, do you really believe that? Do you accept it? The power that God offers to you and to me. And what you got to understand is that that power comes on condition. Ellen White wrote in the book Desire of Ages, page 672, she says, and I quote, Christ has promised the gift of the Holy Spirit to his church. And the promise belongs to us as much as to the first disciples. But like every other promise, she says, it is given on conditions. It is given on what, everybody? Conditions. There are many who believe and profess to claim the Lord's promise. They talk about Christ and about the Holy Spirit, yet receive no benefit. In other words, there's no power made manifest in their lives. Why? And she goes on. They do not surrender the soul to be guided and controlled by the divine agencies. Watch this now. She says, we cannot use the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is to use us. Through the Spirit, God works in his people. See, we're waiting for Jesus to come. Somebody said, we're waiting for Jesus to come. Let me say this. Before God can come for his people, he must come in his people. You waiting for him to come? Before, that's what he wants to do. Ellen White says that Jesus is sitting for his portrait in his people. Jesus is sitting for his portrait in his people. Before God can come for us, he must come in us. She says, through the Spirit, God works in his people to will and to do of his good pleasure. But she goes on, but many will not submit to this. They want to manage themselves. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. You don't tell me what to do. This is why they do not receive the heavenly gift. Only to those who wait, who do what? Wait. Who wait humbly upon God, who watch for his guidance, and grace is the Spirit given. She says, you got to humble yourself. We got to humble ourselves, and we got to wait for the gift. Your waiting is evidence that you believe in Jesus, that you trust Jesus. Your waiting is evidence that you are willing to submit and surrender to his will. Jesus was seen, watch this now, by more than 500 of his followers at the same time, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 6. Write the passage down. More than 500 people heard Jesus say, stay in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere until you receive the gift from God, until you hear from heaven. 500 plus of the followers of Jesus heard the command, stay in Jerusalem, go nowhere. But then the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 15, that there were about 120 of them in the upper room. Less than a quarter of them followed the command, the instructions of Jesus. And guess who received the outpouring? Guess who got the blessing? Guess who was filled on the day of Pentecost? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, our God is an on-time God. Come on, say amen. That when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. That is to say, they had gotten themselves together. In that upper room, they confessed their faults to one another. In that upper room, they humbled themselves before one another. In that upper room, they talked about their jealousies. They talked about their anger problems. They discussed their issues. They had a coming to Jesus meeting. They worked through their problems. And when they'd gotten it together and they were one in one place, God recognized the fact by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that those men went out, and women, and turned the world upside down. They were never the same again. Our God is an on-time God. Our God is a promise-keeping God. And if you want his best, you've got to pass the test. It's a test of your faith. It's a test of your love for him. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, as a matter of fact, let's go there very quickly. Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to wrap this thing up right about now. Acts chapter 5, and my pianist, just come on and get ready. Acts chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 32. I want to share something with you here real quick. Verse 32, here's what the Word of God says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them to do what? Did you see that? God gives his Spirit to those who obey him. Now, let me make this clear. Our obedience is the fruit, the result of our connection with Jesus. You didn't get it. I want to connect our obedience and our understanding of how we receive the Spirit of God. Jesus gave a command, wait. Do not go anywhere, wait. Are y'all with me? 120 out of the 500 or so waited, and they received the gift. They received the gift because they were obedient. They were obedient because they loved Jesus. They were obedient because they trusted Jesus. God will not pour out his Spirit upon the disobedient. He has to be able to trust you with the most precious gift, the greatest blessing that heaven has to pour out in these last days, the blessing of his Spirit. Turn with me to the book of John. What book did I say? John. Let's go to John, where Jesus actually talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. Let's go there real quick. John chapter 14. I want you to see this connection. Jesus said in verse 12, verily, 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 don't pass over those words. Jesus is saying earnestly, truly, I want to let you know something. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Jesus wants to empower us to do great things in the earth. Are y'all with me today? The works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. And whatsoever, are y'all reading this? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's some powerful stuff. We're so connected to him. We're so much in union with Jesus that his will is our will, so that whatever we ask, he grants it. Oh, y'all missed that. Whatsoever you shall ask, look at verse 13, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Look at verse 15. If you what? If you love me, keep my commandments. And this really in the actual Greek meant, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Well, I'm going to show it to you in a minute. And then look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Keep reading. Look at the flow of this. Jesus said, if you ask, I'm going to give you whatever you ask. Because you love me and you're keeping my commandments, your will is my will, my will is your will. So whatever you come to me to ask, you're going to get it because you're in line with my will. But not only do you have to do the asking, I'm going to do some asking for you. Look at what he says here in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another what? That he may abide with you forever. But he's already told us how it happens. How we can score 100 on our prayer requests. And how we can be filled with the Spirit of God. It's because we have a love relationship with God. Amen? It's because we trust God. Look at verse 23. Let's look at a few more verses. I'm going to wrap this thing up here. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man what? If a man what? If a man what? If a man love me, he will do what? Keep my words or keep my commandments. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode. We're going to live with him. We're going to live in him. We're going to live in her. How? Through the Holy Spirit. God gives his most precious gift to those who love him.
those who trust him, and those who reflect that fact by walking in obedience. Jesus said on another occasion, "My Father is more willing to give you good gifts and to give you the gift of the Spirit than you are to give good gifts to your children." God wants, God desires to pour out his Spirit upon this church, upon every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. God desires to pour into you his blessings so that there is overflow in your life. When you go to your job on Monday morning, people will know there's something different about you. There's a walk about you. There's something on your face. When they come into your shadow, they're going to be blessed. And they're going to say, "You must be a child of God. You must have a relationship with God. There's something about you. The power of the Spirit of God is in your life. Whatever you do is going to prosper. It's going to be blessed. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to have trials. It doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties. But whatever comes, you can endure it. You can go through it with peace in your heart, with joy in your spirit. Why? Because where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty, there's peace, and there is joy. Good things do come to those who wait for it. Let me tell you, though we didn't want to rent that house, we wanted to help this family, and so we did. And 1 year and 9 months later, we sold our home. But let me tell you something. We got more for that house than we would have gotten if we'd sold it a year earlier. Not only that, but the family that moved in were blessed. We were able to bless them. See, good things do come to those who wait. And God bless us with a beautiful home here as well. I've learned that if you wait, young woman, if you wait, young man, if you wait, brother, sister, if you wait, he will bless you. If you trust his timing is always right. If you and I would just trust him. Let me tell y'all something. We've been on this 40 days of fasting and prayer, and there are people saying, "Well, you know, God can do things immediately." And it's true, God can do whatever God wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. Some of the best things in life takes time. And you've got to learn how to wait for it and to trust God in the process of waiting for it. And that's why we're fasting and we're praying, because Jesus said some of these things doesn't come but by prayer and fasting. And there's some of us who have not yet begun this journey. We put it out to you 30 days ago. And for whatever reason, you haven't gotten on board. Let me give something to you why I believe the Lord had me preach this sermon at this time. Because the disciples, you know how many days the disciples spent in the upper room? 10 days. You know how many days we have until our fast ends? That's right, 10 days. Beginning tomorrow, the 13th, our fast ends on Wednesday, the 23rd of August. That's when our 40 days end. So, let me say this. You haven't gotten on the fast? Set aside these next 10 days. I want to dare somebody in here today. I want to dare you. I want to challenge you to test God, to prove God. Set it aside. Man, you tried everything. You tried this, you tried that. You tried running to mama, running to your friend. But test God for these next 10 days. Let's go on a Daniel fast. Starting tomorrow. No flesh food. Daniel set aside flesh. And he said, "I'm not going to eat any sweet stuff. for 10 days. And he said, prove me. Prove me. At the end of 10 days, if I be healthier, physically, spiritually, I'm going to ask you, God, to heal my marriage, heal my body. I'm going to ask you, God, because I need a financial breakthrough. I don't know what it is. God, I'm asking you for success in this new semester. Maybe I ended the last one with some failing grades, and I need, God, for you to do something to my mental capacities. I need a breakthrough. And I'm asking God, in these next 10 days, I'm going to take it up another level. I'm tired of half-stepping. I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of being victimized, because the Word of God says, I am more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I'm more than a conqueror. I want you to do it, God. And I'm going to tell y'all something else. We're going to end these 40 days and these next 10 days, August the 23rd, Wednesday night, with a, we call it an extended prayer meeting from 6:30 to 10:30. But I'm going to tell y'all this. I'm going to be in here all night from 6:30 in the evening to 6. See, and I'll tell you why. You ask, Pastor, why? Because I am hungry for God. Like Jacob, I will not let you go until you bless me. And people say, Pastor, you speak like, I speak like this because I serve a God who is great. I serve a God who is awesome. And I've seen God do so much with so little, meaning me, that I'm now convinced that God can do anything with nothing. And so I'm asking God to take it up a notch. And you don't have to stay all night. You can come for an hour. Come whenever you want to come. I'm going to be here. And I'm going to be seeking the Lord. From 6:30, Wednesday the 23rd, to 6:30 in the morning. Talk to God. Those who want to join me, I invite you too. We're going to take this thing up to a whole new level. I believe that God wants to do something great in the earth. And I've just figured that if he needs a person, it's going to be me. If he needs a place, it ought to be here. And if he wants to do it, it ought to be now. So I'm making myself available. I know there's somebody today just want to seek him. You want to have a really closer walk with God. I'm going to invite you to stand right now. If that's your desire right now, I don't know what it is you're asking God to do, but you're saying, God, I'm prepared to wait for it. Maybe I need an answer to something. I've got to make a decision. I don't know whether to go to the left or to the right, but God, I need you. And I'm going to wait until you speak to me and I hear your voice. I need you, God. I need power in my life. I'm addicted. I'm harassed by the enemy. I'm oppressed. I'm possessed. And I need deliverance. And God, I'm going to stay in your face. I'm going to stay on my knees. I'm going to do whatever I need to do because I need your blessing. Somebody here today, you need a relationship with Jesus because that's where it starts. That's where it begins. It begins with a relationship. It begins by understanding that he's the one who loves you so much that he was willing to pay the ultimate price. He was willing to pay the ransom for your deliverance. He's already given you the victory. But you've got to open your heart to him. You've got to surrender your soul to him. And all you need to do today is simply say yes. And you want to signal your decision by coming down front here, giving this preacher your hand, and giving Jesus Christ your heart. If you're here today, just slip out of your seat and come down front. This is your moment. The doors of this church is open for you. You've come here, and you're looking for a church home. You're looking for direction in your life. I call you right now in the name of Jesus. Come. This is your moment. Wherever you are, whoever you are, you did not come here by chance. God brought you here to hear this message. He brought you here for this purpose and for this moment. And I call you in the name of Jesus. I don't know you, but you know where you are. Church, you're praying now because somebody here needs to grab a hold of that lifeline called the blood of Jesus. You need to come. And I call you right now in his name. Somebody, come quickly. This is your moment, and the doors of this church is open to you. You're looking for a church home. You're looking for guidance. You're looking for direction in your life. It begins with a relationship with the one who loves you eternally. He loves you before you began to do any good thing you could ever do. You're saved only by his grace. And I call you right now. Amen. Would you put your hands together, church, and encourage him. Encourage him. Somebody else. God is calling you. God bless you, my brother. Somebody else needs to come. Somebody else. God has spoken to you. And he wants to keep playing. Keep playing. Don't stop playing. Don't stop playing. He wants to fill your life with the power of his Holy Spirit. He will give you an energy and a holy power that you never thought you had. Power to witness. Power to speak truth. Power to say no to sin and yes to what is right. Power to shut down that screen with that filthiness on it. He'll give you the power to do it if you're willing to submit yourself. Give you power to go home to your husband. Power to go home to your wife. He'll give you the power to do it if you would simply surrender yourself to him. Just say, yes, God, I need you today. I need you right now. Open your heart. Somebody else, you need to come. Come quickly. We want to extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Somebody else, you want to say yes. Maybe you're the head of your household. You're the husband. You're the man. And your family, you're not having worship in your family. Are you living in a relationship with somebody and you know you need to get married? You need to get it right. Today, brother, you need to take that step. You need to walk down here and she will follow you. Your family will follow you. I call you in the name of Jesus. Do it. Stand up for Jesus and he will stand up for you. He says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. If you trust in my name, I will call your name before my Father. Take the step. This is your moment. Don't let it pass you by. You may not get another chance. I don't know why. I've done this so many years, over 20-something years, I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are times when God holds me and he says, you need to keep pleading because there is somebody. There's somebody. There's somebody else who needs to come. I don't know you and you don't know me, but God knows you. God knows you by name. He knows your situation. He knows where you're living, the street where you are, the struggles you're dealing with. He knows you. Turn it over to him. This is your moment. This is your moment. Church, you're praying. I don't know why I'm still standing here, but church, you're praying. There's somebody else who needs to say yes. Another family, another couple, another man, another woman need to say yes. We're going to pray now. And even while I'm praying, you feel the urge to come. Just do so. Father, right now we pause to thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for the precious gift of your Holy Spirit. God, I wish I had more time to just really extrapolate more fully about what this means in our lives. But I trust that somehow in the words that were shared today, that we have a better understanding of the potential that we have with you, the possibilities, the opportunities that we all have in opening our hearts to you and making ourselves more available to you. You want to do great things through us and in us. You want to heal us emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially. You want to deliver us. You want to make us whole again. You want to save us. And God, we're standing in your presence because we desire to be saved. We desire to be one with you. We desire that when you come, we're going to go home with you to live eternally. But God, we understand today that before you can come for us, you must come in us. And so we invite you in. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our lives. Push out, root out everything that is unlike you. Prepare us, God, for this evangelistic meeting that is about to come. As we share with the community and invite them in, we want to be ready. We want to be a people who are welcoming and hospitable and loving and kind and gracious, because you have been loving and kind and gracious to us. Transform us, change us, do with us what you desire. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let everybody say together, amen. Amen again. You may be seated in his presence this morning. We're going to